Thank you for listening to the Wednesday Night Podcast with Eduardo Menjivar. To stay connected with us, visit eduardomenjivar.org.
We're remodeling the house. We got a wedding in May. I'm writing two books. Actually, I don't know why I just went crazy. I just decided to write two books. But I was just like, yeah, this is kind of fun. And then everything else that we got going on, I think there's enough time to get people saved. And many of you that are in here are going to win your first soul for Jesus this year. Can you say amen? Okay, we got somebody who believed. He stood up. He said, that's me. All right. So today we're going to get into the word. So 150 by December. Also, I want you to take out your phone real quick. If you don't follow Wednesday night with two Y's, then I want you to follow Wednesday night. And I want you to share the last picture that was uploaded on there just to make some people mad. We like to have fun and we like to make the devil mad. So anybody with the devil is going to get upset. But we like to joke around. We like to rejoice. And if anybody gets mad, don't get mad at me because I didn't make it. You can get mad at RD over here because he's the one that made it. Obviously, I asked him to, but he was the creative genius behind that. All right, let's get into the word. Everybody ready?
Yes.
All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 35. And so this is the second part of becoming the one. I'm going to do a quick little recap very quickly. 1 Corinthians 7, 35. It says like this in English. And the NLT version, it says, I am saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best. To do what? Whatever will help me, whatever will help you serve the Lord best. With as few distractions as possible. With as few what? Distractions as possible. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all that you do. We praise you and we worship you. Thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. So we talked about becoming the one. We talked about love killers. We talked about Song of Solomon. It says to catch all the foxes. And then he makes a specific reference. Those little foxes that destroy the vineyard. Why? Because the vineyard is blossoming. The grapevines are blossoming. So there are things in our character, bad habits that will destroy our friendships, that will destroy our marriages, that will destroy our relationships with our parents. One of the most interesting things about us when we are young is that we believe that everybody else is wrong and we are 100% right. You know what's so interesting is that is exactly how the devil works in the hearts of many people. That is what we call pride and arrogance. Why? Because although we understand we are not the smartest, we are not the wisest, however, we still believe that we are the smartest and wisest when it comes to our life decisions and life choices. And that's one of those little foxes that will eat away at the things that are producing fruit. Imagine you go to a vineyard and there's grapes that start to blossom. There's fruits that start to blossom. However, it doesn't have the same value and you can't enjoy it as much when there are little foxes that eat away at the fruit. And the little foxes are precisely those habits that are negative in our lives that everybody else can see except us. If you were to go home and ask your parents and say, hey, can you name five things that I do wrong? Five bad habits that I have. Your parents would be able to spit them out quickly. But if you were to ask yourself, I want to know if there's anything wrong with me. And I challenge you, think about five things in 10 seconds. Think about five things that are wrong with you. It's hard. Because that is exactly how our hearts think and our minds think. And I don't know. I can't think of anything. And here's what's so interesting. The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all of your strength, with all your might. And then the second commandment, he reduces all 10 commandments to two commandments. The first one, love God with everything. And the second one, love your neighbor as yourself. And what's so interesting is that many people don't even know how to love themselves. And because they don't know how to love themselves, they don't know how to love other people. And most of these people, they find themselves in relationships. You can't love somebody else if you haven't first learned to love yourself. And that is the irony of this whole thing is that we don't know how to love ourselves, but yet we think we are correct in everything. And it's so hard for us to find fault in our own selves. I just wish he was more like this. I just wish she was more like this, more like me. And I wish if people could just understand me. Sometimes it's not about people understanding you. Sometimes it is about you learning and being humble enough to understand the point of view of somebody else. And that is what the Holy Spirit does. So when we talk about relationships, it is important for us to analyze ourselves, that there is sin in us, there are bad habits in us, and we can't find the one, and we can't even begin to ask God to show us who the correct person we're supposed to marry, who they are, if we first don't know how to be true and real to ourselves. You want to know if you're true and real to yourself? Name five things that are wrong with you. Number two, you want to know if you're real and true to yourself? You want to know if you're secure in Christ? Then what influences you? The people you're around? Do you start talking just like the people you're around? Do you hang out with somebody who loves anime? Now all of a sudden you love anime. Then 2 months go by, you hang out with somebody who loves soccer, and then now you love soccer. And you go back and forth. And there's no consistency to your character, to your personality, because you have not learned to be secure in Christ. I'll tell you something that's so interesting, and I see it with many people, many young people. Man, I love Jack in the Box. Yeah, me too. Actually, no, I think I like McDonald's more. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, me too. I like McDonald's more. Depending who they are with, that is who they become. God did not call you to become like other people. God has called you and has called me to be like Jesus, to be secure in Christ. So when we talked about not looking for the correct person, we were talking about, instead, the question is, how do I become the correct person? You can't find the correct person if you first have not become the correct person. Everything you want in somebody else, do you have it? Oh, I just want a man that works. Do you work? No, I don't. Do you want to work? No, not really. I just want a man that will, you know, I can just be at home. I can be a stay-at-home wife. That's what I want. No, learn to work. Because remember, and this was one of the biggest takeaways, you don't attract what you want, you attract who you are. You're lazy, you're going to attract a lazy person. I just want a man that, you know, he just knows how to do everything. He can build a house. He can remodel. He can work on the cars and he can ride horses. You don't even know how to cook. And you're asking for all of these things. So you can't have high standards if you first don't have anything to back it up with. So the question is, what do you know how to do? What do you have to offer? I just really love God, you know, and I'm so in love and I worship, you know, and I feel the Holy Spirit. Okay. You don't eat the Holy Spirit. You don't eat worship. You eat real food. How do you get real food? Money. You're not going to spend the rest of your life in fasting and prayer. There's a moment, and I'll tell you this too, before I forget, because last week I tried to remember and then I would just forget because I just keep going. And before we get into finishing the second part, I want to say this, because this happens to a lot of men and a lot of young women as well. I'll phrase it this way and then I'll explain it just because it sounds cool. And if I was hearing somebody else say it, I would say, you idiot, why'd you even say that? But I'm going to say it anyways. You don't go to sleep with anointing. What does that mean? If you fall in love with somebody who, oh, I just love the way she worships Jesus up on the altar, you know, and when she starts doing this, or Jacob, you know, when he saw Bree, I just love whenever she's, you know, she's dancing and, you know, and the same thing for the women. You might like a guy that preaches and you say, oh my gosh, just the way that when he starts preaching, and the sweat comes down his forehead and it's glistening and you start dreaming, all of those things. I want to tell you something. Don't fall in love with what they do. Fall in love with who they are. Because you don't go to bed with a preacher. You don't go to bed with a worship leader. You go to bed with a human being. Someone who probably they have bad character. Someone who, when they wake up, they're going to have bad breath. They're going to be toda despeinada, tú todo despeinado. Somebody who is not a quote-unquote morning person. You don't wake up and you don't live with a person who's on stage. So you have to be very careful that you don't fall in love with people because of what they do, but because of who they are. So I want to get into finishing this this message. So part two, there are three things. We talked about three general things that we must have. Remember, our main purpose is not for us to get married. Jesus did not die on the cross so that you could get married. Jesus died on the cross so that you would be saved, so that you would get to know him. So what is the purpose of your single season? The purpose is for you to get to know God, for you to know how to love yourself, for you to live in full devotion to Jesus. If you are able to accomplish that while you are single, then you got it made. But three general things that must be present so that you become the one. Number one, who remembers it? Be who? What? Say it loud. Be secure in Christ. You're like, oh, that's just so cliche. No, that's actually very deep. Because you will be astonished how many people are not secure in Christ. They're very insecure. Who texted you? Who is that? Where are you going? You didn't call me back. Why didn't you call me back? I saw your location. You were, what were you doing over there? Were you at the gym? Well, I don't know. There's a store next to the gym. Where were you? And I'm saying these things. Why? Because I've heard them. I've seen them. I've also lived them. We all at some point struggle with insecurity, but it is not up to the other person to complete us. Because God did not create you a half person to look for another half person. God created you a whole person so that you would be, if you guys got something better to teach, you guys can come up here and teach. But I need you to pay attention. So God created you to be a whole person. He didn't create you to be a half person, to look for another half person so that you can have fulfillment in them. He created you a full being to be 100% dependent on Christ. Paul said in scripture, he said, that I may know him. So being secure in Christ, that's how you get to know God. How do you get to be secure in Christ? You get to know him. And one of the things that we talked about is insecure people, they need more, but they settle for less. I just need somebody. I just need somebody's attention. You'll do. Yeah, I mean, you're all right. You know, but whatever. I just need somebody. Holidays are coming up. I just want somebody to cuddle with. Spring's coming up. I'm just feeling, you know, all the, in my belly. You know, I just want a man. You know, he's okay. You know, he's not really my type, but he'll do. Insecure people. Insecure people want so much, but they settle for less. Whatever. That's fine. I'll get used to it. The problem is that is one of the biggest lies of the devil. I'll get used to it. I'll figure it out. And that's why you will see many marriages that are cold. They don't hold hands. They don't even so much as give each other a peck. You know what a peck is? Okay, a kiss. I was trying to be a little, you know. But yeah, un beso. They're not romantic at all. You want to know why? Because, oh, I just wanted to get out of the house, so I left. Or, you know, I turned 18 and I was just ready. You know, I was just building life, so I went. Y fui me la robé. That happens in Mexico, does it not? How many family members do we have? And you say, how did you guys get married? I don't know. I just, you know, he just said, hey, do you just want to leave? Yeah. So he kidnapped me and here we are, you know, 15 babies later. And then you hear about how they have really tough marriages. It was just so hard. It was so tough. There was no love. It was just so cold. But 15 kids later, and the reason I say is because I've heard people say that. I go to my grandparents' ranch, and that's like the most common story. I really wasn't in love, but you know, it was just like, that's what you do. No, don't do that. Learn to be secure in Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. And secure people, they need less, but God will always give them more than they expected. So learn to be secure in Christ. Amen. And then number two was what? Do you guys remember? Strong in character. And I would probably even substitute that with self-control. Self-control and strong in character. Why is that important? It's very important for the following reason. Because one of the most... What are the most common phrases that I've heard people say is this. Man, she got married so young. Man, it's just, it's a shame that they got divorced. They got married so young. Yeah, she just needed to get it out of her system. He just needed to get it out of her system. They weren't able to live their youth. Why do they say that? They say that for the following reason. Because one of the most common concepts of young people is that you have to go out into the world and drink as much as you can, have sex as much as you can, get drugged up as much as you can. That way you can just get it out of your system. And then when you're done and you're ready to settle down, then you can go and get married. No, you want somebody who is not only just secure in Christ, but you want to become somebody who is also strong in character. Somebody who can say no when they need to say no, and somebody who can say yes when they need to say yes. And well, I really want to go, but I shouldn't. So you don't have self-control. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and
self-control.
There it is. And self-control. So learn to be that person. You have to learn to be someone who has self-control, who has a strong character. And it's not just about having sex and drugs and all of those things. No, it's in the small things. Do you have self-control when it comes to social media? Do you have self-control when it comes to TikTok? Oh, I'm just, you know, reading all these things and it's just, I can't stop. It's 2 o'clock in the morning and you're on the phone. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. You wake up to use the bathroom and then take out the phone. You become so addicted. Do you have self-control? Do you have strong enough character to know how to manage your time? One of the things that I am so, what's the word that I'm looking for? That I am so impacted, impressed, surprised. Look at me with all these synonyms. Man, I'm a walking dictionary. I'm very impressed by God. You want to know why? Because the things that I do now, if God was to give me those things 10 years ago, I would fail at 100% of them. Now it's so interesting because somehow I find time to get enough sleep, but then I'm doing 10 times more than what I was doing even 3 years ago. I'll tell you guys very quickly, just so you kind of understand. And it's not to boast like, look at me, look how much I do. No, because this is coming from someone who was lazy. There's my sister. Where's Sergio at back there? Terrible time management. Am I right or am I wrong, Sergio? I mean, that guy is disciplined. Like, we get there at such and such time. I'm like, nah, man, it's cool. You know, we're 15 minutes late. Nobody's going to say anything. I would invite him to the movies. He's like, dude, we're late. It's all right, man. You got trailers and previews and whatnot. It's all good. And that's how I lived life. But the moment I decided to serve Jesus, the moment I decided I'm taking this thing serious, that's when I learned to manage my time. So what does it look like now? Well, I prepare for Monday nights. We have meetings with leaders. And then I have a meeting with grupos de crecimiento leaders. And then I have to have a Bible study lesson ready to give them on Mondays. Tuesday is my day off. But Tuesday night, I start studying for Wednesday. Wednesday during the day, what am I doing? Studying for tonight's message. And then Thursday, it's either going to supervise grupos or start already on the next things that are coming up. Or if I have to preach over the weekend, I start studying and I have to fast. And so that's every single week. And then on top of that, all the other church responsibilities. I'm looking for a set list for Sunday. And now Heriberto, thank God, he does every Wednesday and I do Sundays. And hopefully that's going to change soon. And then I'm looking for, what else am I? Oh, yeah, I'm writing those two books, which I don't know why I just started writing. I was like, that seems kind of good. All right, cool. You know what? I should probably make this into a book. So I started typing that up. And then we're writing other lessons for other things that are coming. And then on top of that, planning and already thinking of the outreach events and all of those things. So it's an everyday thing. However, at the same time, I'm in a relationship. So where do I find the time? If I don't learn how to manage my time, here's one of the biggest revelations that I understood. Unless I learn to manage my time correctly, then God, if I don't learn how to manage my time correctly, God will never entrust me with greater and better things. And many of you, God cannot entrust you the heart of somebody else because you don't know how to manage your time correctly. What does that have to do with the other thing? Very perfect and very simple. Having and being in a relationship means that you have a responsibility to the other person. You have to dedicate time. You have to call. You have to text. You have to maintain this fire, this passion floating. You have to maintain it up. It doesn't just happen naturally. Does that make sense? So unless you know how to manage your time, God will never entrust you the heart of somebody else. So it goes to something as small as learning to manage your time. What are the things that you are entertained with? Do you have strong enough character to say, all right, time's up, up until now. You know what? That was a little too far. I'm not going to joke. I'm joking. I'm okay up until now. Learn to be a person of self-control. Learn to be a person that has strong character. And one of those things that we see for many people, man, I got a headache. You know what? I'm just going to stay home. You have no strong character to push through. And those things don't happen by accident. They happen on purpose. You have to be willing to be intentional to develop that inside of you. You have to understand and be real with yourself and say, you know what? Terrible at time management. I'm terrible at calling people back. I'm terrible at answering the phone, Jacob. I'm terrible at calling, communicating. I'm terrible at those things. So I'm going to develop that. They don't develop just on purpose. They don't develop by accident. They develop on purpose. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So the Bible says, so here are five traits, and this is where we left off, of a person who is strong in character. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Man, you guys are way too young to understand that one. I think that was Mad TV, or was it Mad TV, Serge? I don't remember. I think so. Timothy, Balake. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. You got it? If you got it, say, I got it. Say amen. All right, this is what the Bible says in the New Living Translation. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. That's the first lesson. Anybody who ever says, ah, you're too young to understand. Ah, you wouldn't understand. Ah, tú no sabes, eres muy joven. Stop right there. The Bible says, don't let anybody. So you have the green light from Scripture to say, hey, man, don't talk to me that way. I know I'm young, but I ain't stupid. Whenever I was younger, when I understood that, and people would say, you wouldn't understand. You're too young. You know what I would say? Try me. Half the time I had no idea what they were saying. And I was like, no, yeah, I know what you're saying. I know what you mean. Do you? Yeah, explain it to me. No, because you already know. I don't need to explain nothing. I had no idea what they were talking about, but I played it off. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers. Be an example to who? All believers. Not just some. Not just the one that come to Philadelphia. All believers, even the ones you don't like, that also come to Philadelphia. All believers. Says, in the way you what? In what you say, in the way you live, or in your conduct, in your love, in your faith, and in your purity. So here are five traits of a person with strong character, of a person who is an example. And these are the five traits you have to develop in your life. Number one, example in speech. You have to learn to be an example in speech. What is your speech like? What do you speak? The Bible says that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What do you talk like? Is your heart full of curse words? Is your heart full of hatred? Man, I just don't like him. I just don't like her, man. She's just, ugh. That's all you're able to talk about? Next time you get around your friends, what are the conversations you have? I had to let go and push back from some circles. You want to know why? Because the only time we had a meaningful conversation I started to pick up was whenever it was negative things. All the negative things going around in the world. Sí, no, es que el dólar. No, sí, es que este presidente. No, sí, nos quiere. Anytime I try to talk about something about God, anytime we talked about scripture, biblical things, it was, yeah. Oh, okay, yeah, amen. Yeah, all right, yeah. Anyways, and I was like, dude, no, this is not edifying me at all. I took a step back. So what is your speech like? How do you speak? How do you talk? Do you speak in faith? When things come up, are you the first one to say, take a step back because I'm sick? And I'll say that to people. I'll purposely go up to people when they're wearing masks because I want to do this. I haven't done it yet just because I'm like, man, they're not going to understand it. But I'm going to say it so that if I do say it to you, you're going to understand it. Okay? But I want to go to some people when they're wearing masks, and I just want to say, hey, you know that was 5 years ago. And just walk off. Sí, hermano. They're not going to know. But I'm going to say, bueno, hermano, eso ya fue hace 5 años. But anyways, that's just, I don't know. I think that's just me being passive aggressive. Anyways, what do you speak like? Do you speak in faith or do you speak in fear? You know, I just don't want to get around you because you're sick and I don't want to get sick either. First of all, learn to be a real Christian and read scripture. Because the Bible talks about divine healing. And you know, I've noticed that many people, they like to think they believe it, but the way they speak, they reveal in their hearts that they don't actually believe it because of how you conduct yourself. So I'm in New York, I'm preaching, and you know, it's great, it's burning up inside of there. And then I come outside, I step outside, and I mean, the wind is blowing like 40 miles an hour, and it's like 20 degrees outside. I'm like, my goodness, it is cold out here. Well, the next day I wake up and my throat is sore. And then the pastor hears me and he says, man, are you good to preach? Yeah, I'm fine. Oh, it's because I can hear your throat. I said, I'm fine. So then on Monday morning, I wake up and I mean, my voice is just like, it's cracking. It's terrible. Another pastor friend of mine picks me up. He goes, man, it sounds like you went hard on the mic, huh? And I said, yeah, this was a Saturday. And then just the wind and all that stuff. I said, it did me harm. He said, man, you know what? It's okay. We don't have to talk. I said, dude, I did not come all the way over here just to sit in silence in a cop car with you. We are going to talk and catch up. He's like, yeah, all right, great. So anyways, so we caught up the whole time we're talking. I get back over here. When I get back over here, my parents ask me about it and I tell them about it. Long story short, I'm texting one of my friends back from New York. He's like, man, you know, you should really take a break for a while until you're 100%. I said, dude, if the devil can stop me with a sore throat, then the next time I'm ready to preach, he's going to stop me again with a sore throat. So why do I say that? I'll explain it. Because I understand that there is divine healing for me. It is a promise. And if I halt to anything, any problem, any obstacle, any sickness, the devil knows how to stop me. He knows he can't stop me with headaches. I'll get headaches and I'll still go to church. I got a jacked up throat. I'm still going to preach. So the devil is constantly thinking, man, how can I bring him down? I got him sick. That didn't work. I took his money out of his bank account. That still didn't work. He ain't got no car. And I'm trying to get, you know, to him. And it's still not working. So you have to get to a point where it doesn't matter what the devil throws at you. You become an example. You speak in faith. Can you say amen? Number two, your behavior. It says, by the way that you live. How is your behavior? How's your behavior? You say, oh, no, I'm pretty good, man. You know, I go to church every Sunday. No, I didn't ask about you going to church. How is your behavior? How's your behavior when you're not around church people? How do you express yourself to your authorities, to your parents? How do you treat your parents? How do you treat your friends? And here's one. How do you behave and how do you conduct yourself when you are challenged in life? I don't know. It seems like the devil's just like coming at me and I just don't know why. And I just don't want to go to church anymore. I don't know what to do. And you're up, you're down, you're up, you're down. Be an example. That is what it means to have security in Christ and to have a strong character. Is that it doesn't matter what comes your way. When you are challenged, you are still that same Christian. Is it harder? Yeah, maybe. But let me ask you a question. A soldier who is out on the battlefield, is he still a soldier when he's here at home? Or does he stop being a soldier? Huh? Is he a soldier? He's a soldier. But he's acting different. He's more relaxed. Yes, but he's still a soldier. If he needs to fight, he's going to fight. But when he goes to the battlefield, do you think that the whole time that they are there, they're laughing, they're joking, they're cutting up? No. There's probably times of fear. But you'll never see a soldier out on the battlefield say, man, forget this. Take everything. I'm out. You'll never see that. Doesn't matter how they feel, they still push through. Be an example in behavior. Number three, how is your love? How do you treat others? Do you treat others with the love of Christ? Or do you still have things, judgment in your heart? Yeah, I don't know about that girl. Because you see it more in the girls. Guys are kind of like, I don't know, man. Guys are just kind of weird, but whatever. It's cool, I guess. But you ask the girl's like, yeah, I don't know. She just... You see that. You ever seen that? Like, what do you think about her? What does mean? Do you love them? Well, I don't know. It's hard to love. Okay. Just because it's hard to love doesn't mean it's impossible. Write this down. God will never ask you anything. God will never ask of you or ask you to do anything that you cannot do. The Bible calls us to forgive people. Why? Because we have the capacity to forgive through the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit's help. But God's not going to ask you to do something just so that you can fall flat on your face, just so that you can embarrass yourself. No. He asks us to do things because he believes in us and because he's given us the capacity to do so. Can you say amen? So how is your love? Or do you treat others with judgment or preconceived notions? Things that you already made up in your mind. Every year, man, my hands are freezing. Anybody else cold? I heard a yes. What is that thing at? Huh? There's no... What? That's why I keep putting my hands in my pocket. It's cold. So how is your love? Ask yourself this question. Do I love people? Now, I want you to pay close attention to this. When I ask you, do you love people? I'm not asking you, do you love the people que te caen bien, that it's easy to love? Do you love people, even the ones that you don't know? Even the ones that it's hard to love, do you love them? Well, if I make myself love them, then I just become a hypocrite. And the Bible talks about hypocrite. No. Develop genuine love. What is love? Love is a decision. It's not a feeling. It's a decision. Do you know how many times I have to love Arely's dogs? They get on my nerves. I hate them. But when they get out, I have to love them. And I have to really care for them. Like, oh, dang it, they're out. Let me go get them. But it takes everything inside. Like, part of me, and I've told her, man, I'll just leave them out there, man. They can, whatever. If they come back, great. If they don't, they don't. Is she still here? No, she left. Okay, good. If they leave, then, you know, whatever. I don't care. But then something inside of me says, no, man, you got to go get them. It's a decision. Like, ah, dang it. All right, I'll go get them. I pick them up. Come on, let's go. Go inside. All right. Yeah. I thought they were going to run off, but they didn't. So it's a decision, and that's exactly what love looks like. Okay, let me hurry up. Number four. Faith. Do you live a life of faith or do you live a life of fear? How do you know? Are you living a life of what ifs? What if my parents get deported? What if I get deported? What if Jesus comes back tomorrow? Well, then great. What if I don't make it? What if that's not a life of faith? The Bible says to be an example in speech and behavior, in love and in faith. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to only do things when there's enough money? Are you only willing to go above and beyond for the Lord when there's enough money? I'll tell you something here. I like to give opportunities. I love to give people opportunities to travel. There's people that probably would have never traveled or gone to see other countries if it wasn't for the opportunity that I gave them. And so I'm very thankful for that. And so that's why I try to invite everybody to mission trips and to go. But you want to know why many of you won't go to mission trips? There's two reasons. Number one, because there's no money. And number two, because your parents say there's no money. You have to get to a point to where you say yes to God before you ever check your bank account. That's the point you have to get to. You really want God to use you? You want to live a life of faith? God, I just want this man who's like a man of faith and he's a preacher. Well, he ain't looking for somebody who ain't got faith. I'll tell you that right now. He's looking for somebody that says, you know what? I want somebody who says yes to Jesus before checking their bank account. That's faith. Do you live like that? Or do you say, you know what? Hey, guys, we got a mission trip to El Salvador. We got a mission trip to Mexico. I don't know. I don't know. I don't think I have enough money. When people say that, like I've talked to hermanos. ¿Y cuánto cuesta el vuelo? ¿Y qué le importa? I haven't checked. Why do you care? What does it matter? Well, how much is it going to cost? I don't know. Let me know how much it's going to cost. I never tell them. You want to know why? Because that's a soft no. I already know people. hey, you know what, man, it'd be great. You know, I'd love to, you know, your son to come play, your family come play. How much is it going to cost us? Never mind. I'll find somebody else. They might be less talented. They might just be starting out. They might not even be a musician, but they're like, you know what? I got two sticks, or I got this, you know, this jacked up guitar, but whatever, I'll use them because they're willing to go. So learn to live a life of faith. Are you going to graduate? When are you graduating? Next year. I'm behind, but I'm going to graduate by faith. That's how you speak. Are you going off to college? I sure am. You are? Where are you going? I have no idea yet. I don't even know if I'm going to graduate, but I'm speaking by faith. That's how you live. You live by faith and not by sight. It's not by what you see. It's by what you believe. Can you say amen? Amen. Learn to develop faith in you. Faith is like a muscle. Man, I want to do a series on faith. I'm getting so like, it's like building up inside of me. Faith is like a muscle. The less you exercise it, the weaker you are. That's why you'll see people all around you. You're like, man, they're getting testimonies, getting $900 there, $5,000 over here. Somebody paid for their trip. Somebody gave them. You know what's crazy? Sergio got his iPad stolen, and it was 64 gigs. It was 64 gigs. Then that same day, when he gets back, somebody gives him an iPad. You know how much memory that one had? 94. Bingo. 256. 256. It was more. You want to know why? Because it's a life of faith. A life of faith does not care about earthly things. When you learn to not care about earthly things are going to come to you. Because why? Because God says, man, I know your heart is set on me. Your eyes are set on me. You didn't ask for this, but I'm going to give it to you. When you learn to develop faith, God will give you things that you never asked for. God will give you things that you never asked for, but they were in your heart and you had the desire to have them. But you said, Lord, if I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't. God gives you those things. When you set your eyes on Jesus, when you learn to live a life of faith, that's when God begins to give you things. So I remember I asked Sergio, I was like, dude, what are you gonna do? He's like, man, I don't know. I don't care. I was like, dude, I would care. Nah, whatever. So then they stole his headphones. It was really cool, over the ear headphones. He gets back, he's got headphones now. Some better ones, I guess. I don't know, because they have a case. The other ones didn't have a case. I didn't know that. But everything, just about almost everything that got stolen, God gave to him the first day back. Why? Because God will give you things that you did not ask for. You will reap things that you never sowed. Why? Because you've learned to live according to faith. Learn to live that way. When you learn to live that way, you'll be very surprised by God. So if you're reading scripture right now on your phone, go ahead and close that. You had all week to do it, and you're going to read scripture in church while I'm preaching. You can read it after. So that was number four. Number five, this is the last one, and then the last point. Your character in purity. And this is probably one of the hardest ones with young people. You want to know why? Because we just dirty, man. Our hearts are just dirty. You never know how dirty your heart is until you decide to go on a fast and say, God, expose my heart and tell me everything that's wrong inside of me. And you'll start feeling bad. I was talking to a lady. She was a coworker years ago when I worked at a bank. And she found out I was a preacher. And she said, are you like one of those fire and brimstone preachers? And I was like, I don't think so. No, because I don't set the mic on fire. I don't like fire. I don't do that stuff. She's like, no, but you know what I mean? You talk about hell. I was like, oh, yeah, I talk about hell. You talk about the devil. Yeah, I talk about the devil. But I talk about Jesus more than I talk about the devil. She said, well, one time I went to this church. She said, and the preacher, he was preaching, you know, and I really liked the songs and stuff. But after I left, she said, I went to my car. And when I went to my car, she said, I felt so dirty. I felt so angry also at the same time. I don't know why. And she said, and then all of a sudden I just started crying. I said, why? She said, I think it was because of what he said. She said, and I vowed to never go to a church again. And you know what happens? Is that the word is so pure that when it hits our hearts, it will either cause us to get upset. It will cause us to feel dirty. It will cause us to feel less of ourselves. Why? Because we think so highly of ourselves. We think we're okay before God. We think we are so pure before God. But whenever we take scripture and we begin to analyze our hearts and we hold up scripture like a mirror to our hearts, we find out how truthfully, not truthfully, how untruthful we really are. How not pure we really are. And the Bible says that it is God who balances our hearts. In other words, He weighs our hearts. He analyzes our hearts. He examines our hearts. And He's the one that knows what's true. And the Bible also says in Jeremiah that the heart is the most deceitful thing above all. Who can know it? So when we talk about purity, I want you to repeat this. Purity starts in singleness. Purity doesn't start when you get married. Purity doesn't start when you say, you know what? I think I'm ready to settle down. It's one of the hardest things to do. It's one of the hardest ways to live. But there are many people in this room that have messed up. Is God mad at you because of that? No. But God will pick you up. And God will restore you. And God will bring you back to a place even higher, greater, and better than where you were before. But if you are willing to humble yourself and say, Lord, I've messed up. You know, there was one time that when Pastor Henry came, he put his hand on me and he said, because you said, judge me first and tell me first what I'm doing wrong. Here's a promise for your life. And he gave me the promise. And I was like, man, I remember that. I found out he was coming. I didn't even know he was coming. I found out he was coming. I said, Lord, you got to put me on the spot. Put me on the spot. I'm here. I don't care what anybody says. I'm here. Tell me what's wrong with me first. And prayers like that are prayers that get God's attention. God's not mad at you because you messed up. God's heartbroken because you messed up. But more than that, He wants to restore you. He wants to. And it's so hard for many of you. I don't know why I'm getting into this, but I'm gonna finish this thought. It's so hard for many of you to get restored and to understand that God truly loves you because you compare your relationship with your heavenly Father. You compare that relationship with your earthly Father. And your earthly Father is somebody imperfect. It's somebody who always was ready to spank you when you were a kid. Somebody who was always ready to get you in trouble. Somebody who was always ready to discipline you. And God is not like your earthly Father. He's not like my earthly Father. God is our heavenly Father. And our earthly Father cannot even come close to the characteristics and the love of our Heavenly Father. So understand that. God's not mad at you. He's madly in love with... No, God's not mad at you. He wants to restore you. So pray for your mind and rebuke those thoughts from the devil that say, he don't want to talk to you. He don't care what you got to say. He don't love you. Man, you messed up again. No, run to God. Because that's the only place that you can feel safe. Can you say amen? Amen. So I'll finish with number three. You want somebody who has strong character, learn to develop strong character. And number three, the third characteristic that you must have in order to become the one, surround yourself by God honoring people. A person who is, what time is it? Oh my gosh. All right. A person who is the correct person, who is the one, is a person who's secure in God, is a person who has strong character, and is a person who is surrounded by God-honoring people. In other words, godly people. Sometimes people have asked me in the past, what do you think about a relationship? I don't know. I don't really care, but show me who your friends are. Because you can tell a lot the quality and the success of that relationship and that marriage according to their friendships. You can tell a lot. You want to have a successful marriage? Surround yourself by God-honoring people. Don't surround yourself by your mom's best friend from college or high school who's on her third and fourth marriage and she's thinking about divorcing that one and she's got 10 kids and 10 different baby daddies. And what advice will she give you when you encounter tension in your marriage? Girl, just leave him. I left Pablo within 2 years. And then the other one, what was his name? Jose, I left him when he said... That's the kind of advice that you're going to get. But when you surround yourself with people who honor God, who fear God, you know what the advice you're going to get is? You know what? We're going to pray for you. Every marriage goes through hardship, but you're going to come out of this alive. So depending on the people you surround yourself with, that's going to depend on the quality and the success of your marriage, of your friendships, of everything around you. If their friends are strong, then there's a high chance that you will have a strong marriage. If you're surrounded by friends and marriages and friendships that honor God, then I guarantee you there's a high chance that your relationship is going to honor God. The Bible says, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, he who walks with the wise becomes wise. Who you are with is a reflection of who you are. Who are your friends? Who are the people that you hang around with? Are they people that gossip? Is that all they do? Then that's what's in your heart. You might not even know it. Are they people that disrespect authority? Then you probably do it and you have no idea you do it. Who are you surrounded by? Are you surrounded by proud, arrogant people? More than likely, you're probably proud and arrogant. Who do you surround yourself with? Ask yourself. Think of the five closest friends in your heart. And you are the average of those five friends. And I'll close with this. The strength of your friendships will shape and determine the quality of your marriage. You can stand to your feet. You know, there's a lot of weird people. There's people that I'm friends with now that I know that a couple of years ago, I wouldn't have been friends with them now. I wouldn't have been friends with them at all. You want to know why? Because my mind was somewhere else. My mind has changed when I decided, Lord, I want to serve you and I want to give you everything. So I became friends with certain people that I know that are going to help me. And that I know I have something to give to them. So now some of my closest friends are the people that, for example, you guys know Johnny. Well, those of you who've gone to Brazil, you know Johnny, bald head Johnny. And you guys know Justin. Well, those two people, I rarely ever talked to them when we were in Bible school. I talk to them more now than I did back in Bible school. You want to know why? Because I wasn't interested in a strong life back then. I was interested in, I got a calling, I need to fulfill it, and I'm going to become this, and I'm going to become that. And when I finally understood that if I have strong friendships, I'll be strong myself, and the people I surround myself with is going to determine it's just a reflection of who I am, that's when my friendships started to change. And that's when I started to accomplish things for the Lord. So I want to ask you this question. Who do you surround yourself with? Who are you? Who are your friends? Who are your closest friends? So the question is no longer, how do I find the correct person? How do I find the right one? Is how do I become the one? How do you become the one? Number one, you need to be
the one.
Man, do I need to preach this all over? You need to become secure in Christ. Number two, strong in character. And number three, surround yourself by godly people. Godly people. Surround yourself by godly people. I'm going to post these on Spotify so you can go back and listen to them. Because I'm going to tell you this. We'll probably, like, later in the year have another session or something about relationships or whatnot. But if you come to me asking me questions, or can you help me? Like, how do I know if she's the one? I'm going to say, you know what, dude? I already talked about that. I'm not going to preach just to you. You can go back and listen to it. So take notes. Cherish it in your heart. I'm not saying this because it's me. No, because it's going to help you. And it's going to keep you from making some stupid mistakes. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Am I right, ladies?
Amen.
Okay, there was a couple of them that believe it, so at least them. Everybody else was kind of like, I don't know. I kind of like him. He's ain't got no job. Wakes up at noon on Saturdays. He don't even know how to cook an egg, but I kind of like him. He got a nice smile. At least he dresses nice when he comes to church. Nah. I think later in life, later this year, I'll give some advice because you don't want people that have nothing going on in their lives. No. If there's anything, ladies, that you must know about a man is, does he have a job? So find yourself somebody who has a job. Amen. And that job can't be sleeping in until noon. All right, lift up your hands. I want to pray for you. I want to bless you. Father, I thank you for every person here. I thank you for every young man and woman.
Thank you for listening to the Wednesday Night Podcast. If you want to help us take the gospel to this generation, consider becoming a partner at eduardomenjivar.org. See you next time.